number 7. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, everybody say, it got noisy. It got noisy. When it was noised abroad, amen, it said the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Hicks? From the sticks? What in the world are they doing speaking all these languages? I want us to focus tonight on that word, marvel. Or you want to say it this way, say thaumazo. Thaumazo. They thaumazo. Amen. They marveled, or they wondered. They were stupefied. They were stunned. They were astonished. They were amazed at what they saw. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject. Renew the wonder. Renew the wonder. Amen. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. One of the beautiful things about children is they have a sense of awe. And they have a sense of wonder. And it doesn't take a whole lot to cause them to be amazed and to marvel. Even they haven't lost the beauty of a flower. They haven't lost the amazement of the wind caressing their skin. They haven't lost the joy of feeling the green grass tickling the bottoms of their feet. They haven't lost the wonder of the coolness of water against their young skin. They have not lost the sense of wonder. They have that. But as you get older and you get a little more coarse and you get a little more jaded and you get a little bit more sophisticated, you start losing the wonder and you begin to take all of the marvels just as commonplace. Things that used to arrest your attention and stop you and cause you to marvel no longer do. It happens in church. Amen. Sometimes in a service, the things that used to cause us to marvel, the things that caused us to wonder, the things that caused us to move, the thing that caused us to shout, the thing that caused us to weep, the thing that caused us to rejoice becomes commonplace. We become callous. We become hardened. We just take it all for granted. But I'm here tonight to tell you it's time to return, to restore and renew the wonder. It concerns me when I see the Holy Ghost moving and people are not moved, and people to leave a service and say, I didn't feel the God in the house tonight. I'm going to tell you, the problem is not God, and the problem is not the church, worst thing to lose the sense of wonder. I admire men and women that have lived for God for a long time, but they haven't lost the sense of wonder. I love to hear preachers, aged preachers, that have never lost the wonder of the Word of the Lord. And you hear it and you feel it in their message. They're not doing it because it's a job. They're not doing it because it's a profession. But they have a wonder and they have an awe and they marvel still at the Word of the Lord. Don't lose the wonder. Amen. There are a number of wonders in the Word of God. I suppose we could start with the wonder of the incarnation. The Bible said that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, that the heavens lit up with the glory of God, and angels began to rejoice in the heavens, and shepherds in the fields looked up, and they saw this angelic host as they filled the heavens with the glory of God. Now, I don't know if angels sing or not. We talk about angels singing. But the Bible never talks about angels singing. We talk about choirs of angels, but the Bible doesn't talk about choirs of angels. We talk about people singing like an angel. That might not be so good. We really don't know. The Scripture doesn't say that the angels are singing. It says that the angels were rejoicing. You don't have to sing to rejoice. You can just shout and rejoice. You can just dance and rejoice. I don't know what they were doing, but I know that the heavens lit up with the glory of God. And the Bible said they looked down and these poor shepherds were shaking in their shoes. Whoa, we never saw anything like this. I guess not. How about you? You reckon that gets your attention? You're out in the shepherd, you're out in the field with just a bunch of sheep, and all of a sudden the heavens are filled with angels, and they're shouting, glorifying God, and the heavens light up like midday. Amen. The Bible said didn't say they were afraid, it said they were sore afraid. Now, when you get sore afraid, I've been sore from a lot of stuff, but not being afraid. But they were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Woo! Messiah has come. Amen. And then they said, "And this shall be a sign. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, wrapped and lying in a manger." And the Bible said, "And with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And then the light went out. And they looked at one another, and they were full of wonder. I guarantee you, they were full of wonder. They said, "We got to check this out." So they boogied on down to Bethlehem. And sure enough, they're out behind an inn, in a stable, was a manger. And in the manger was a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Hallelujah. And they began to worship that babe because they realized, amen, they had a wonder at what had happened. And the Bible said they went out and they started telling their story to everybody they could see. Hey, guess what happened to us? We saw a bunch of angels and they said the Messiah has come and the Christ has arrived. And we saw Him with our very eyes. And we fell down before Him. And we worshiped Him. And the Bible said the people, when they heard their testimony, they wondered. They marveled. They were stupefied. They were stunned. They were astonished. They were amazed. Now why? These were shepherds. You talk about the low man on the totem pole. Shepherds were just about as low as you could go on the pay scale. And as far as being influential, it doesn't take a whole lot of education to follow sheep. They were not honored and esteemed gentlemen, but there was something about their testimony. Let me tell you something. You don't have to have as many degrees as a thermometer to be an effective witness. But I'm going to tell you what you got to have. You got to have some wonder. You've got to have that marvel in your spirit. You've got to have that astonishment down inside when you start talking about Jesus and people start feeling that. Bible said whenever they heard Peter and John preached, it said they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen. It said, but they perceived one thing, that they had been with Jesus. They had some wonder. They were filled with marvel. You spend a little time with the Lord and you renew the wonder and renew the marvel of Him in your life, and it'll make a power out of your witness. You'll have more than an argument. Amen. You won't care about arguing. You'll care about one thing. I just want you to know Him like I know Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, let's don't lose the wonder. There's nothing like the incarnation. My, what a marvel. The Bible said, though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. He came down to our level because we could not get up to His level. And then He lifted us up and made us to become like Him. And He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Don't lose the wonder of the incarnation. That God set the price for remission of sin. And He said, without shedding of blood is no remission. And then God, who is spirit, took upon Himself a body that was physical and had blood, so He could shed that blood and give that life so I could die to sin and He could become my sacrifice. And then He would resurrect that body in the glorious likeness of our resurrection. Don't you lose the wonder of the incarnation. Hallelujah. Don't lose the wonder of His healing. Brother Hart talked about it this morning. The book of Matthew chapter 15. Let's read it again, verse 30. And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And He healed them. Insomuch the multitude wondered. They were amazed because they saw the blind see, and they watched deaf ears be unstopped, and the astonishment come on the face of people who could not hear, and they were hearing perfectly, and the tongue tongue of the mute was unloosed, and suddenly they shouted and sang praise. And the lame began to leap, and every sickness was cleansed, and people were healed by the mighty power of God. Hey, let's don't lose the wonder of His healing. Amen. Sister Rhonda, does the Lord still heal? Amen. A whole lot's happened to her since last Sunday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just telling you, anybody else had a healing from the Lord lately? Anybody else believe He's in the healing business tonight? There's some of you sitting here tonight that you really shouldn't even be here. We should have already had your funeral. Amen. But I'm telling you, don't lose the wonder of the healing of the Lord. He's still in the healing business tonight. Don't lose the wonder of His watchfulness. Jesus had done one of the greatest miracles that had ever been performed on the earth. He took some loaves and fishes from a little boy and He transformed those things. Now, I love this miracle. It's just one of my favorites. Amen. The whole Bible. I would love to see, been there and watch that and take part in that. Just think, friend, Jesus took that bread and those fish and He blessed them and broke them and gave them to His disciples. Little pieces. He took two biscuits and broke it into 12 pieces and gave a little piece to each disciple. And then He took two little sardines and He divided it up into microscopic chips and gave some to each disciple. And He said, go feed them. Then He gave them some tweezers to serve with. No, that's my imagination. He may not have done that. But He said, go serve them. And they looked at what they had in their hand, and they looked at the task that was before them, and they said, this is going to be tough. So they broke off a crumb of bread and a little flake of fish, and they gave it to a big old hearty fella and said, buddy, enjoy that. And when He received it, all of a sudden, boom, it took two hands to handle the Whopper. Woo, a big old smile came across His face. And He chowed down. And the more He ate, the bigger it got. Amen. Praise the Lord. And boy, they couldn't wait to get to the next one. And they served Him a little more generously. And boom, it happened all over again. You talk about wonder. Filled with miracle bread and miracle fish. And when the day was done, the Bible said they took up 12 baskets full. Now let me tell you something. God gives you a portion. And if you'll share that portion, you'll have a basket full. But if you just squander your little portion on yourself, you're not going to have the wonder. You're not going to see the glory. You're not going to participate in the miracle. If we just come on a Sunday night and a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night and get our thimble full and go home, and don't share it with anybody, and don't do anything with it, no wonder we just barely make it from service to service. But if you'll share your portion, and you'll begin to give out the word of the Lord, and the wonder of the Lord, great things will happen in your life. And then, the Lord turns around to him and said, all right, boys, he said, y'all get in the boat and head on across the sea, and I'll see you on the other side. They get in the boat, and they head to the other side. And the Bible says that in the night, that a storm arose, and the winds were boisterous, and they were being tossed around, and they got real fearful, and they thought they were going to sink. But the part I love about the story is, the Bible said Jesus was praying, and he saw them. God said he saw them. He saw them toiling at rowing, and he watched it. Let me tell you something. He's watching you. He sees where you are. He knows what you're going through. He understands your situation, and he has an answer. He's watchful. I wonder at his watchfulness, that he knows what's going on. And the Bible said that he, at midnight, he came near walking on the water. Walking through the storm, through the howling of the wind and the lashing of the rain and the crash of the thunder, but it all was just beneath his feet, and he was walking as serenely as if it was a sunshiny day. And he got close to the boat, and they saw him. And the Bible said they got scared. Little boy in the play, that was his line, was supposed to be not afraid, it is I. Or it is I, be not afraid. That's supposed to be his line. And he couldn't remember his line. But he did the best he could. He said, don't get scared. It's just me. But that's all right. He got the point across. Pray that. That's probably just as good a translation as this one. Amen. Don't you be scared. It's just me. Amen. And that's what he told them. And boy, they got all happy. There's something about this story that bothers me. The Bible said in Mark chapter 6, verse 51, and he went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They had the wonder again. But here's the problem. It says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Get this last part. For their heart was hardened. Now when I read that, I thought, that word hardened really don't mean hardened. So I looked it up in the Greek. Poruo. And you know what it means? Hardened. It means callous. That's very scary, folks. But I see that sometimes. I watch people in a miracle service, and in a matter of hours, they can be acting like the devil himself. Hello? I'm just telling you the truth. I've watched people sit in a service, glorify God, and leave with the wonder of the Lord on their face, and then get out of here and start ripping their brothers and sisters to pieces with their old filthy tongue. I haven't heard it, but it's reported that some of them even lied on the pastor. Now it's getting quiet. They lost the wonder. They lost the wonder. You can't have the wonder. You can't be filled with a marvel. You can't be stunned and stupefied and amazed and astonished and act like that. And here's the scary thing. It didn't take them long to lose it. It was not a matter of days. It was a matter of hours. Isn't that what happened to Israel? God delivered them. My, the miracles He did. And the next morning they were ready to stone Moses. Isn't that amazing? They lost the wonder. They lost it. Amen. You need to renew the wonder tonight. Don't you lose it. You need to renew. You need to restore it. You need to keep it fresh. Don't lose the wonder of His watchfulness. Understanding that He's with you. Little girl came home from Sunday school and she said, Mama, and her mama said, what did you learn in Sunday school today? Mama didn't go to church. She asked her kid. And she said, well, she said, I learned today that Jesus is watching over me and He sees everything that I do. And He hears everything that I say. And she said, well, honey, don't that kind of bother you? She said, no, it does not, Mama. He loves me so much, He can't take His eyes off of me. It's all in the perspective. You see, she was still full of wonder. Mama was full of sin. She had stuff she was trying to hide. She had stuff she was ashamed of. But the little darling, she was full of innocence and purity and the love of God and the love for God. And she was full of wonder. Amen. It's a perspective, folks. Don't lose the wonder of His deliverance. I love the incident in the Scripture where Jesus stepped out on the shore of Gadara. And as He stepped out there, this madman came running at Him naked and unclothed and wild-eyed and screaming. And His body was covered with bleeding sores and scars and scabs. The Bible said He was a madman. He lived in the tombs of the graveyard. And He would howl in the night as a lunatic. And people's blood would chill. And they would try to catch Him and chain Him like an animal and cage Him. But nothing could hold Him. Jesus stepped on the shore. He came running and roaring to where He was. And when He got close to Him, He fell down on His knees, lifted up His hands, and began to worship. There's not a devil in the heaven, ever heaven, devil in hell cannot keep you from worshiping God if you want to worship God. They cannot keep you from being delivered from your sin if you want to be delivered. He fell down and I love this. Jesus received His worship while He was still in that state. Now a lot of us wouldn't do that. We'd say, you go home, get some clothes on, then you come back. Now this was not a public service. Understand. This was on a remote seashore. Amen. And He came and He worshiped the Lord. And Jesus began to speak to him. And He said, what's your name? The guy couldn't even speak for himself. He was so influenced by the demonic. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. He was full of evil spirits. He was full. He was possessed to the point of insanity. And Jesus commanded the spirits to come out of him. And they came out of him. And the Bible says they went into a herd of swine. That's the first time we ever read about deviled hell. And the swine ran into the sea and destroyed themselves. Now there's not much dirtier than a pig. Isn't it amazing that human beings will live with spirits that a pig can't tolerate? And we call them wild animals? And so Jesus delivered the man. And I love the next verse. The Bible said when the people came, I wish I could finish preaching this, but I'll save this for another time. That's another message. But when the people came out, they saw this man. He was sitting there. And he was, I love it, clothed. You get saved, you put some clothes on. You want to cover up your nakedness. The Bible said he was clothed and he was in his right mind. His eyes were full of sanity. They were snapping with life. And I love this story. Now this man was a Gentile. Just like Brother Hart preached about this morning. Now this is very interesting to me. And Jesus, the people told Jesus, he said, you gotta leave here. They cared more about their pigs and their pocketbook than they did about a miracle, because they didn't have any wonder. But this man had some wonder. And when Jesus got ready to go to the boat, he said, oh, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, you can't go. I want you to get this. This man, this convert, did not graduate from Bible college, much less the seminary. He come out of the cemetery, not the seminary. Sometimes they're real close to the same, I think. But he didn't know the Bible. He knew one thing. His own testimony. And he was filled with wonder. That's all he had. He had a testimony. And he was filled with wonder. Now, you remember, there's three times in the scripture when Jesus told his disciples great things happened, and he would tell them, he'd say, don't you tell anybody. He healed a leper. For all we know, the first leper that had ever been healed under the law. And he healed that man. He said, don't you tell anybody. And when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, don't you tell anybody. Do you know the fastest way to spread news? You got it. You're laughing, so you know. It's to tell somebody, not to tell what you just told. So he said, don't tell anybody. To them. But you know what he told this man? He said, you go tell what great things the Lord has done for you. Why is that? Because he didn't, this man was not in Israel. This man was in Gentile territory. And he said, you go tell everybody what the Lord's done for you. See, Jesus was a witness to the Jews. He didn't have a witness to the Gentiles until now. And he said, you go tell them. Now I'm going to tell you, somebody like that's got a testimony. I got a feeling when he walked back in town, doors started slamming, windows started closing, mama started calling their kids. They said, the madman's come to town. Run, kids, run! The madman's here. But with tears running down his cheeks and his face shining with light and life, he said, you don't have to worry. He said, I'm not a madman anymore. I'm a miracle now. This man called Jesus touched me, and the spirits are all gone. And the Bible says the people wondered at his testimony. They were filled with awe. They marveled at what had happened to him. You skip ahead a little bit over to the book of the 8th chapter, the book of Mark. And when Jesus came back to that area again, the Bible said there was a great multitude waiting for him. Where did that great multitude come from? One witness. One witness. That's all he had. One witness that was filled with wonder. Brother Grissom, how are we going to have revival? We just got to get filled with the wonder. And when we're filled with the wonder, and we share the wonder, and we share the miracle, and we share the marvel, this church won't hold the crowd. That's right. Amen. All we got to do is restore and renew the wonder. His deliverance. The wonder of His Word. I like this book of Luke chapter 4. The Bible said He came to Nazareth where He'd been brought up. As His custom was, as His custom, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus had this habit of going to church at church time. Imagine that. Jesus went to church. I think that's good advice. If it was church time, He went to church. He was God, manifest in flesh. But when it was church time, He went to church. And you know what? He still does. He's here tonight. Hallelujah. He's still in the house tonight. So he went to church. It was church time. And he stood up and somebody handed him the scroll. You know, Bible times they didn't. I'm so glad we have Bibles. You can just turn the pages. It's easy. But in Bible times, they had scrolls. You ever seen a scroll? And you had to unroll that button. Can you imagine 66 chapters in Isaiah? And it didn't have numbers. Like it didn't have chapters and verses like we have. He just had to know where it was. Of course, He's God. He knew. He's the one that gave it to Isaiah. But he unrolled that little buddy till he got down to what we call chapter 61. And he started reading. He said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Amen. And because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then He stopped. Now that goes on, but He stopped right there. And He gave the book and he sat down. And the Bible said everybody looked at Him. And all He said was this. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The answer's sitting right here on this pew. And the Bible says, and they wondered at His word. Don't lose the wonder of His Word. I love, Brother Hart mentioned this morning, I'm just re-preaching his sermon, by the way. But he wouldn't share his notes. I had to get them from the Lord. So, the centurion came to Jesus. And I marvel at the centurion, like Jesus did. The centurion came. And he said, "My servant's sick unto death." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Jesus offered to come to his house and heal his servant. He said, "No. No." He said, "I'm not worthy that you should enter into my roof." But he said, "I'm a man under authority." Now, if you're under authority, you understand this. Some people never get under authority. I've heard people come, they don't come to ask, they come to tell me what the Lord said to them. And that usually tells me they got an authority problem. The Lord told me to go here. The Lord told me to go there. The Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that. Well, He didn't tell me. He said, I'm under authority. So I understand authority, and I know how to use authority because I'm under authority. And if you're under authority, then God can trust you with authority, and it won't go to your head. Now, that didn't cost anything extra. I just tossed it in there. Now, that wasn't in Brother Hart's notes. That was Brother Grissom. Just plain old me. And so he said, I'm a man under authority. He said, if you'll just say the word, that's all it'll take. You see, here's a man that said, I don't have to have your presence. Your word is enough. How many times do we get all excited when we can't feel something? Huh? I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Well, then just stand on His Word. Here's a man that said, I don't need your presence as much as I need your Word. That's why the Bible said that His Word is exalted above all of His name. Apparently, this man had an understanding of that. He didn't lose the wonder of the Word of God. Oh. I never want to lose the wonder of the Word. I've asked myself, and I've asked others, how much is one word from God worth to you? On eBay, they sell people's signature sometimes, or some letter that some celebrity wrote, and they'll say it'll bring thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars for some words that some man wrote down. How much is a word from God worth? What would you pay for a word from God? Some folks won't even get out of bed to come to church to hear it. So they must not value it very much. Let me just ask, you don't have to raise your hand here tonight, but anybody here ever had a word from God in church? Anybody ever come to church needing to hear from God, and it wasn't the preacher? The Lord may have used the preacher, but somewhere in all these words He was talking, you got a word from the Lord. And when you got it, it was worth everything that you have. When you miss a service, you miss an opportunity to hear from God. Amen. Don't lose the wonder of the Word. Don't lose the wonder of the Word. Don't lose the wonder of the resurrection. I'm nearly through. I've only got 6 more places to go. No, I don't. I'm nearly done. Don't lose the wonder of the resurrection. The Bible says, don't get up yet, sister. I've still got a little bit more. Don't want nobody rushing me here. See, she's under authority. Isn't that sweet? Amen. But Jesus had been crucified. And I'm telling you, the dreams of the disciples were dashed to pieces. Their hearts were broken. The light of their future was quenched. And they didn't know what to do. and they didn't know where to go. And so the Bible says they were gathered in that upper room where they last saw him. And they had the doors locked, and they had the windows closed and locked up. And they were talking about Jesus. And they were I thought he was the Messiah. I don't understand what happened. I just don't understand. And Peter was saying, let me tell you something, boys. I saw him. He really is alive. Oh, Peter. I'd love to believe that. Oh, how I'd love to believe that. If I could just see him. And all of a sudden, there he was. Through the door that was locked, through the windows that were closed, there he was. Sometimes when God gives you what you ask for, it'll scare the daylights out of you. The Bible said they were like that first time on the boat. They were sore afraid. They said, whoa! And Jesus said it again. He said, don't be afraid. It is me. He said, see my hands? See these nail scars right here? He said, and my feet? They got holes in them. My side here where they pierced it. It's me. It really is me. Amen. And they still weren't convinced. So he said, give me some of that food there. Because they were scared it was just a spirit. But he said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Now, he didn't say flesh and blood, because he didn't have any. He shed that for us. You know what your new body's going to be like? It's not going to have any blood. It's going to be flesh and bone. But it's not going to be powered by blood like this one. It's going to be powered by the Holy Ghost. And you want to go somewhere, you just think, and you're there. Now, that's faster than a Ford. Or a Chevrolet. Or a Bayron, a Bugatti. It'll get you there, friend. It's going to be so fast. The Bible said that the dead shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. And the Bible said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. How fast can you shut your eyes and open them? That's how fast it's going to be. And you'll be there. Glory! Amen! No pollution. No incombustible engines. Amen. You're sitting. I'll be sitting in my mansion. I'll think, I want to go over and see Brother Hart. And boom, I'll just be there. Isn't that amazing? That resurrected body, that was something else. And there he was. And here's what I like about it. He could eat. Amen. Brother Robbie, you won't have any more stomach problems. You can eat all the calories you want, and it won't make you fat. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. Amen. You know, heaven's different things for different folks. Amen. I hear people say, well, I just lived. I just eat to live. Well, I'm sorry. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I just like it. Amen. And if it shows, so what? Amen. I'm going to have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Amen. So don't lose the wonder of the resurrection. Amen. Don't you lose. That's going to be marvelous. It's going to be marvelous. Amen. The wonder. Praise God. And then it's just right now you can go. And don't lose the wonder of salvation. We read that to you in the book of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they're all in one place, one accord. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house wherein they were sitting. and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah.
Glory. And they got happy.
Oh, they got happy. They spilled out into from Solomon's porch in the courtyard, and boy, they were talking in tongues. Amen. Their smile was broad as a mile. I mean, they were excited. They were full of wonder. And people saw them. And the people that saw them, the Scripture said, they were amazed. Thaumazu. Thaumazu. They were amazed. They marveled. They were filled with wonder. They were stunned. They were stupefied. They were amazed. They were astonished. Hallelujah. Because they were filled with wonder. Amen. And when Peter got through preaching, the Bible said there were 3,000 more tongue talkers the very first day. A couple of days later, there were 5,000 more. The Bible said that Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. Amen. And then it went over to Samaria, into Judea and over to Samaria. And then it started going everywhere. The Bible said it even got up in Caesar's household. Hallelujah. It got so powerful. One place they said, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Hallelujah. Now how did that happen? Because they were full of wonder. Full of wonder. I know you're wondering when I'm going to quit, and I'm going to quit right now. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise the Lord.